There is a battle going on in our culture, and it may be going on in your mind as well. For want of better terms, let's call the belligerents the absolutists and the relativists. And what's at stake are our assumptions about the universe we live in, and the questions, the basic human questions we ask ourselves. What is real? What is true? What is good for us to do? One human response has been that of the absolutists, and theirs is to seek out some non-human, timeless foundation for our webs of belief, an abiding source for answers about how things are and how they should be. Absolutists believe that we can tell the difference between truth, that is, real knowledge about real stuff, and mere opinion. And they also believe there are special methods for us to get the one true version of how things are. And then once we have that, we have a guide for how we can live. Now, if this all seems both comforting and obvious, well, it should. After all, this approach has been at the center of Western philosophical and religious thinking for as far back as you want to go. But it's not the only way people are thinking today. Now, opposing this army of objectivity seekers, we find another faction of thinker, the relativists. They don't buy into any idea of some neutral, fundamental version of events that we can all get our hands on. Rather, they believe that all values emerge from the activities of human communities, the communities that you and I were born into and live our lives out in. For the relativists, for the pragmatists, the test of truth is whether a statement works for us right now. And, hey, you can always get a better version of events later. For the relativists, there is no God's eye view, just human communities muddling through. Yeah, there is bad blood between these two groups, no doubt about that. The absolutist gang is all over the relativists these days, accusing them of somehow contributing to the moral decay of our society. And the relativists, they scoff at this, and they say, look, there's no way you could ever have gotten a hold of real essences to things anyway. And why build some grand metaphysical structure merely to confirm what is the natural, ongoing attempt to find a better way to live with each other? What is at stake here in this relativist, absolutist problem? And what do you think? It's pretty obvious. We're sitting in a round circle of, you know, wood that's painted to look like marble. Where, I mean, the feed we get, the immediate feed of the physical world that touches and tastes and feels and smells, is it possible we could be mistaken about those things? I mean, that seems to be starting with the really real, right?
The question you raise is shows up at the very beginning of philosophy. I mean, Plato's got the same problem because the pre-Socratics are having this big debate. Everything's changing, and therefore we can't know it. And therefore, he takes the view that the only things we know are things that don't change, whether they be the Potomac or whether it be where we're sitting here. And therefore, he says, since we can't know the physical world, because that's changing, I think that's hard. Whatever's changing, we can't know. And there's this connection that he
You fill that out, I'm not quite sure why that is.
Because anything I say about anything, whatever I said about it is no longer true 8 seconds later or 1 second later because it's changed. So I can't say anything about anything. And he takes it too, and if we say, the only things you can talk about are things that are immutable, never change, like mathematics. There's this connection that is assumed here that you cannot say it, you can't know about a world that's in flux. And I'm not sure that's correct. I mean, there may be underlying structures about the flux that you can eventually know, and that's what makes this pursuit so exciting. And you're right. I mean, we can't assume anything about physical. I think skepticism is a very serious argument.
Okay, go ahead.
I would want to perhaps, along the lines of what Shannon said here, you say our human knowledge is flawed. Perhaps I would say that a little bit. Our human knowledge contains flaws. I would be a little bit slow, I think, to say our human knowledge as a whole is flawed. In other words, to say that no matter what we think we know, we're somehow mistaken about it. I'd be happy, I think, to say, we know, I mean, our knowing is always knowing of something. Sometimes we get things wrong, and in obvious, in all phases of life, in all areas, from science to every day. But if you say that, let me put it this way, we know we've made a mistake because later on we find out what was right.
Sometimes.
Sometimes we don't know we made a mistake. We continue with the mistake. We maybe to this day continue with the mistake, sure. But when we do know that something's a mistake, it's because we've somehow seen in other ways, you know, this is right and that's wrong.
I'll grant you that, but I sense you're building a bigger edifice than the one I want. You're not saying, well, you sound like a pragmatist.
Now, let me go one step further.
Yeah.
See, what I would say that when you start talking about our knowledge as a whole, you really can't, you don't have any access to what would show us that our knowledge is flawed. In other words, there's no getting outside our knowledge as a whole.
Right.
Which is why I would want to say that to say that our knowledge as a whole is flawed seems to me a claim rather difficult to make.
Well, I find that rewording. That's okay with me, because I think maybe a better way of saying it is that because we are finite beings, our knowledge is always vulnerable, open to mistake,
open to
misinterpretation and misunderstanding, and it becomes our task, first of all, to try to know, and then secondly, to try to be certain of what we know. And to distinguish what we're certain of and what we're not certain of.
Yeah, but how certain can you be using this flawed instrument that we are?
I think you can be real certain about a whole lot of things.
No, I'm open to those things.
Well, the fact that we get up in the morning and, you know, you invited us to come and we're all here. We were really pretty certain that you were going to be here.
Not that chance is an illusion, right? We would.
Of course.
Okay, I mean, we are creatures, at least I am, and it seems like many human beings are creatures that can be radically mistaken, at least for short periods of time, dreams, hallucinations, whatever, right?
Yes, but then we test those things against other known realities to ourselves.
We do?
Sure.
So what, eventually, what, later on you come to see that it was a dream?
Well, the only way I know that I had a dream is when I wake up and I say, oh, it was a dream. And in fact, I know that because I can understand that in a different way than I understand something that I would say, but this really happened and that I dreamt.
So, but at any one time, you're still open to correct. Yes. Right now, we're open to correction, right? I mean, we may be mistaken about just about.
That's the human condition.
No, let me pin you down this. Is it possible that right at any one moment you could be mistaken about anything you know?
I don't know if I want to say that, Ken. I have to think about it a little bit.
I say that. In fact, I wonder what you say the certainty are over here. And one of the things that we shouldn't get trapped into is to make the stakes of certainty so high. The only things that you would know without possibility of error are things that are true by definition, say, even analytically. Even that's not so clear.
Of course, like A equals A.
Right, and even that, you know, depends, right? So basically, you couldn't know anything. Part of the definition of knowing something is there's always a logical possibility that you're getting it wrong. That's okay. I mean, even if you say that, I'm not willing to say, well, since it's logically possible that you're wrong, you don't know. I mean, I think those are requiring conditions that are a little impossible.
Go ahead.